Let's begin the public comment, if you will. And could somebody give Jane the microphone? Oh, you're third. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you, Teresa. Robert Graham.
Hello, I'm Robert Graham. And a little too close. Well, I stayed up all last night because I got this summer cold, and I haven't slept at all, and I don't feel very good. But I feel like this is a very important place to be able to discuss this. I have been an activist in this community for the last 10, 15 years, but I really got active after 9/11 and decided to get organized. And I actually ran for the board and lost, so I didn't get to contribute anything. But when I wanted to go contribute, I went to this, Program Council Committee meeting over at KPFT, and when I go there, you know, there's a room full of people there, and I'm trying to contribute, but before the meeting gets started, there's some commotion that one of the whatever her name is, Rhonda, brings up, I have this neosniferin stuff on my head, and it's hard for me to follow a thought. When I was sitting there, God, this is difficult.
A time limit, all right. So if you could
So I'm sitting there, and the chair people are trying to have a agenda meeting, and then before they can even set the agenda, someone breaks in and says, "Let's call for an election of a new chairperson of this program council," and I'm astounded that they're actually going through with this process of having new elections, and the chairperson says no, this is out of order, and then somebody goes off in the other room and pulls back the some document that that they're supposed to be reading about how this selection process was made, and then
go ahead, just
okay, all right. Well, my point is this: I came to this meeting to try to contribute. And what happened was this meeting got hijacked. They made a new chairperson. They had an election. I feel like it was illegal. And then they elected a new person to chair the committee. And everybody else is left out. And, I'm there to participate, contribute, and, I have to leave. I go over and tell the chairperson that, hey, you guys have just been hijacked.
Sorry. Thank you, Robert. I have a sign-up list here. If anybody else would like to sign up, Ken Freeland.
Yeah, I brought up the point last night that I had submitted to all of you a report, what I was calling a minority report, for lack of a better term, challenging what you probably will hear later this afternoon from the chair of the KPFT LSB. Things are not hunky-dory and rosy in terms of the process, the democratic process that we're supposed to have and the following of Robert's Rules of Order and parliamentary procedure. I have to tell you that it's very, very refreshing to watch a meeting take place where Robert's Rules of Order are respected and where parliamentary procedure obtains. This is like rain in a thirsty desert compared to what goes on at KPFT in our meetings, generally. I've forwarded to you five instances that I believe are so egregious as to create a continuing breach in our parliamentary order and the integrity of KPFT-LSB. And I have asked that those five issues be addressed by some authority higher than the KPFT-LSB, because the KPFT-LSB is not capable of holding its own in terms of parliamentary procedure. I don't know where I'm going to get the opportunity to see that those motions get considered. I was given to understand that if I submitted it far enough in advance of this meeting that they could be considered here, but apparently there is not a spot on the agenda for them. I would ask that somebody who's sympathetic would at least take up the question of whether or not KPFT-LSB presiding officers are acting in accordance with Robert's rules in making their decisions, and whether or not there is a way in which this body, which is the parent body in a sense, because the LSBs are standing committees of this body, can act in a way to repair the breaches that still exist and are recorded in KPFT's minutes.
Well, that was perfectly timed, Ken. Thank you. Jane.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to thank you for extending time for the first speaker. And I'd like to, in part, echo the concerns expressed by the second speaker. We need better respect for one another. And coming from KPFA, it's really almost intolerable. We have acquired the volunteer services of a parliamentarian, and I hope we can make things better. My primary reason for coming before you is to inform you all that I am going to file an ADA complaint against this hotel because it is grossly inaccessible and in violation of the law, and I'm not going to do it, again, contrary to what anybody may tell you, against the National Board for this meeting. I would, however, say that I'm not going to hold to that when it comes to the next one. I think we have enough time to stop violating the rights that were hard fought and protect everyone in this room. And so I would ask you to please be on notice that the next National Board meeting best be in compliance with the law. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
And the bylaws. But the bylaws have a interesting silence in them. The one sentence I tried to get included, which was that this body would be in compliance with all local, state, and federal civil rights laws and regulations. I was told it was too controversial. Thank you.
Willie Thompson. Thank you, Jane.
Good afternoon, and thank you again. I do understand that after my comments yesterday that the chairperson of the KPFA-LSB did have a response, and I'm informed that she is essentially in agreement that we do have issues, although there might be some areas of disagreement as well, but I think that's healthy. I'm a member of the Haiti Action Committee, one of the many community groups that encouraged me to run for the LSB and continues to advise me on operations and governance issues at KPFA and Pacifica. I am then implicitly authorized, therefore, to commend Pacifica, especially the Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! And the Dennis Bernstein Now! Nora Barrow Friedman and Solange Echeverria Flashpoint Program for their historically unparalleled coverage of the coup d'etat against the democratically elected government in Haiti. Yeah. Thank you. They've also given substantial coverage to the Haitian government in exile. As you know, Amy Goodman accompanied, I think, President Aristide from Africa to the Caribbean. They also have continued to provide excellent coverage of the slaughter of Lavalas members by convicted criminals and mass murderers with the U.S. and French support. Their model of courageous reporting comes during corporate news, voluntary censorship, and state-aided war coverage. We ask that you continue by passing resolutions on Haiti, as has already been done by KPFT and KPFA. The latter vote was unanimous, and the resolution was widely distributed on other listservs by our own Ted Friedman, with very little negative feedback, which means that our coverage has produces for us widespread support in the community. One of your members, Sam Kateka, has engaged in a vigil for Haiti since the U.S. and French sought coup d'etat on February the 29th, 2004. This is 200 years after the Haitian people and military destroyed enslavement and race supremacy. Thank you.
Thank you, Willie. Free Speech Radio News, Randy Zimmerman, Shannon Young.
I'm Randy Zimmerman, and very, thank you. Very happily here with Shannon Young, who's from KPFT, now in Mexico City, and soon to be in Bolivia. Everything that you folks have talked about that you say you want to do, we already do. Democratic, grassroots, from the bottom up organization, training, diversity. We give away media kits and say, okay, now produce two stories to pay for it. And we're very, very active in that. It's a nonstop type of thing, as some folks have already said. And I'm going to let Shannon take over the mic here and give some detail on more of the things we do and how very much we're looking forward to doing more collaborative work, as we have done everything this network has asked us to do for the network we have done from September 11th to invasion of Iraq, et cetera.
So we're split in 2 minutes, so I'm going to try to keep it brief. I noticed a lot of people expressed interest in training, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody knows that we do a news track training program. We have a 44-page manual. It's available on our website. It's translated into Spanish. We do trainings one-on-one at the station level. In D.C., it's through the D.C. Radio Co-op. At KPFT, it's through the KPFT News Department or the Sunday Monitor. It's already funded, actually, through grants and foundations, so the funding's already there. Our training time is relatively short because our goal is to get the content out on the air as soon as possible because it is breaking news. So every reporter also that files is paid, so that helps to close the digital divide because people are able to acquire their own equipment.
At four-year-old strike wages.
Yeah, we're actually paid less now than we were 4 years ago, but it does help to acquire our own equipment. So that does help close that digital divide. And we work with affiliates, which helps with outreach. I mean, she produces out of WMNF in Tampa. Access to airtime was also something that Sonali brought up. And as we're running as a collective, an average of 8 to 10 people between the headlines and the features get on the air every half-hour show. So there is access to the airwaves, and those airwaves are... It's national airtime. So, and there not only is there access to the airwaves and training, but there's also power sharing through our structure because we are a worker-run collective. Every reporter that files a certain amount of stories has equal power in the collective. So it's horizontally structured. And that's exactly our 2 minutes. So any questions, find either Randy and myself, and we'll answer whatever questions you have about FSRN.
Thank you. Ted Weisgau.
Okay. First, on the topic of collaborative, many of us here in Houston would like to see Democracy Now moved to a time when it would have greater exposure and generate more money. If we move to do such a thing and management doesn't act accordingly, what recourse do we have? Secondly, regarding money, if the LSB currently wants seed money to fund a project such as a folio to bring greater awareness and we expect funds to KPFT, how do we get this seed money? And lastly, national board meetings in the future. As a member of the host committee for this event, I feel we need more time, and this applies, I think, to all stations, to plan these meetings. If we could begin now to plan for your next visit, which I assume is 5 meetings down the road, we could save this foundation thousands of dollars. We need to know the dates of the next visit of this board to Houston. Can I get some answers to these questions?
No. We cannot give you the dates because it really has to be. We're not even the board that's going to be sitting five times from now. So.
Then you're wasting our listeners' money. I mean, you can make decisions, I think, that are just accepted by the next board. I mean, they could always change it, but at least we'd get some guidance so that we could find a cheaper hall, free facilities, housing for people, transportation for people. We could begin now and save this foundation thousands.
Thanks, Ted.
What about the other two questions I raised?
I can't deal with them right now.
How do I get an answer at some point in time?
Well, I think you need to talk to the people at KPFT.
I have. I don't have answers.
I think that we have a committee structure for instance, LSB budget requests. Talk to your finance committee member and start working there.
Thanks, Ted. Edwin Johnston.
Yes, I'm glad I was able to introduce myself to the new people last night, and I've met with quite a number of them, which shows me that you're very responsive. And since you're responsive, I have a point and maybe a request to follow that up. I did some study about the Abu Ghraib prison torture, and it seems that one of the companies that was doing the subcontracting was connected in a father-son relationship with decision strategies. And exactly. And some of you may remember the former regime, circa 2001, hired decision strategies to spy on the activists. Now, many of us activists, and I'm a likely candidate of their spy routine, many of us have been asking for those records. And I believe, since I've already sued the city of Houston in federal court for the police department's illegal spying, so I know how the routine works, that we should get these reports individually. So if there's a report on me that was paid for by Pacifica through and gathered by Decision Strategies, I should be able to get that report. So that's my request, is for the board to find out what information on activists that Decision Strategies gathered and to distribute that to each of the victims, essentially the subjects of those spy routines. So, and I can continue on that personally, you know, email or whatever you want to talk about. But I want to say that I'll be responsive to you as well. And if somebody needs a ride back to the airport tonight, tomorrow, if you can't contact me, contact Deb. She's in charge of the transportation, and we'll help get you to the airport.
Thanks, Edwin. Patty Heffley.
Hi. First of all, I want to... I've been coming to board meetings since 1996, and it's just really great to see it working so much better. And I'm really proud of you guys. On another thing, who I want to really thank is KPFTX.org and Otis Hardy McClay and John Sirius, who have been streaming these meetings for free or sometimes a hotel room for several years now. It's quite disconcerting to actually in New York we did make an announcement because the bylaws call for announcing at least three times a day for at least 5 days before the meeting and before that even, and we made a cart that actually said that it was streaming on kpftx.org, and I hope the other stations will make that same effort so that the listeners can become informed that they can't all afford to travel places. One thing I want to say is that the Pacifica.org website has no alert that this meeting is really taking place, and it could be right up on the top. It's down. It's not in the first part of the window. You have to scroll down to like a area about Pacifica governance business, and then you click on there, and it's very small about that this meeting. You can listen to it right now. Why isn't that button right on the front page that the Pacifica meeting is going on right this minute? And I implore if Pete Caracas is listening to put a button on there right now, and this should be announced. This is transparency and openness, and we shouldn't be ashamed of our meetings, and we should be letting everybody know because we used to, when we first got the network back, we used to stream these meetings on the radio stations, and now it's like lowered to the bottom of the page of the Pacifica, and if anybody else tries to do any more, that's all we get. And I implore that they do something more about these meetings, and they are announced better so people can become involved and stay involved in the governance.
Thank you, Patty. Deborah Shafto.
This is by way of rebuttal to some of the remarks you heard about the KPFD, LSB and their performance. Robert's Rules of Order is a system for promoting the will of the majority while protecting the rights of the minority. There are people, as we all know, we've seen it in other meetings, other places, and sometimes even here, where people use their superior knowledge of Robert's Rules to push an agenda, a single issue agenda, or sometimes just a personal agenda. And that's what we see going on. I think this, the kind of behavior where the meeting is, a great deal of the meeting, maybe a half, three quarters of the meeting, is occupied with objections and points of order and that kind of, I don't know what to call it besides foie, goes on, and it takes up valuable time. I think it shows disrespect for the people who have given their time and effort, and I think that the context, this is the context in which you should view the remarks about how we have been lax about Robert's Rules. There is nothing lax about them, just there have been so many objections and so much diddly foie that the chairman has been required to overrule it in order to proceed and get anything done besides a basic introduction. And I hope you'll take that into account when you consider any complaints that are made. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
Could you spell deli foo for me?
Melinda Eiley-Doan. And if there's anyone else who wishes to speak...
Well, I must say that I really like especially the use of diddly flop. I'm very impressed. May I second that one, please? Actually, the truth of the matter is the reason I'm up here, I'd like to quote someone who grew up right down the street from where I grew up. You might have heard of her. Her name's Ann Richards. And I like when she made the comment. She said, forbid it for me to talk about something for which I know a little bit about. The truth is that I've been at these KPFT meetings. I've not missed a single one. And what she's telling is the absolute gospel. We have a commendable chair who is very patient, and he has put up with a lot of nonsense. And I must say that there have been times when yours truly has been an excitable girl. I've been over there going... You know, just freaking out. But he's over there going, calm down, Melinda. Cool. Be cool. It's okay. And he's been really cool about keeping our meetings, and he has just been so patient. And the main reason he has been is because he wants everyone to be heard. And I might say, in terms of where money's going, let me also speak highly of T.C. Smythe, because T.C. Smythe has got some exciting plans that she's going to be talking about that I'm not going to begin to take the take element of surprise away from her. She's been working hard. We're working hard on elections. We're working very hard in our committees. And I think we've got some exciting things going on over at KPFT where, I tell you what, freedom of speech is alive and well. And I guarantee you one thing. You guys just watch us, okay?
Thank you, Melinda. Steve Brown.
Hi. I thought Dan Coughlin's report on the Pacifica audience was very interesting. The census data showed us who was in our signal areas, and the Arbitron data with whatever accuracy showed us who our listeners were and how they were divided up. But there's a third segment that no mention was made of, and that's the actual membership, the people who pay to support Pacifica, and about those people we know zero officially. Now, I think during the last election we had a survey from WBAI, and 40 to 45% of all the people who voted also completed the survey, which tells us, if we ever get the data into the computers, who they are, what they are, what they do, what they like, also what color they are, what religion they are, what sexual preferences they have, if they wanted to put that down. I think that for the next election that the board ought to make an effort to make sure that we have surveys like this, or better ones, in every single packet, because we pay the postage and we should get something back and we should know who our members are. We may have some surprises.
Thank you, Steve, and hope the Elections Committee heard that. Now, is there anyone else who wishes to speak during this public comment time? We'll have another one tomorrow at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. But this is your opportunity if you want it.
I had a question.
Who? All right. We'll go ahead then, and we'll close this, and we will move the agenda forward. Thank you all for your comments, and thank you for being here today and caring about Pacifica.